Federal leaders like you know that modernizing IT requires updated technology and a culture shift. Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
Ever since the post 9/11 GI Bill was enacted nearly a decade ago, one of its most important perks has been service members' ability to pass along education benefits to their kids if the vets themselves don't use them. But the Defense Department is changing those rules. Starting a year from now, some service members will lose the right to transfer education benefits. The rule change has provoked something of a backlash from veterans groups. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu writes about it in this week's edition of the DoD Reporter's Notebook. And Jared joins me now. So is this basically a money-saving gesture?
They're not explicitly saying that it's a money savings gesture, and that would be a weird thing if it were, because an interesting quirk about the post 9/11 GI Bill is that all of the money for it comes out of the VA budget, not the DoD budget. DoD has authority and responsibility to set policy for who's eligible, but it doesn't actually cost the department any money. So this may be a whole of government decision that was directed by OMB or someone else to save money, but DoD is not explicitly saying that money is the key driver here.
And do they have any idea of how much of the money allocated each year is left unspent by veterans that don't use it?
The appropriations that go into the program are basically pegged to what VA anticipates needing over the course of a coming fiscal year. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of unspent dollars. But to get back to the reasoning, there's not really a money factor as far as what DoD is saying publicly is the reason for this. They're saying it's a refocusing on what was the original intent of transferability within the GI Bill. So interesting approach DoD is taking. They're not completely wrong, certainly, in their interpretation of what the GI Bill says, because it does make clear that the underlying benefit for education is an entitlement, but that the ability to transfer those benefits to your dependents, usually your kids, is designed as a retention tool for DoD. So normally the way this has worked up until now is there were relatively few rules as to who you could transfer those benefits to as long as they were registered in the Defense Department eligibility reporting system, and as long as you were willing to sign up for another 4 years of service after you have made that transfer. Those were mostly the rules. The change that they're making at this point is that you can no longer make that transfer if you've already served for 16 years in the military. It's not exactly clear how they picked that 16-year marker, but the justification they're giving for it is that's where they think it's no longer a major retention pull for members of the military. So just to quote you some of the language in the updated instruction that they issued last week, they say, transferability is neither an entitlement nor a transition or readjustment benefit. The military departments will not automatically approve a service member's request to elect to transfer benefits. And before approving an individual's request to elect to transfer benefits, the secretary concerned must determine whether the service member is eligible for retention under the service's retention policies. And that in and of itself is a relatively big change. So they're saying not only must you be willing to sign up for another 4 years of service, the military has to want you for another 4 years before you're allowed to take advantage of this particular portion of the GI Bill.
I wonder if someone ran an algorithm and found out that at 16 years, that's about when people stop using it. And so let's just pull back before we have to dole it out.
I'm not sure how much data science has gone into this, but on its face, that would certainly seem to be true. So at 16 years, a relatively large proportion of people who are in military service will have already gotten a bachelor's degree. And so the use of the benefit at that point would be to pass it on to your kids once you've served 16 years. One obvious problem with that is you don't always know that you're going to need to transfer or you're not necessarily going to have a dependent to transfer your benefits to at that 16-year mark. As we know, people are having kids later and later in this particular generation. So that 16-year mark for a lot of folks would be right around the 34 years of age mark. It's not particularly unusual for somebody to have their first kid at that point. So again, there's no dependents for you to pass on your benefits to at that point. So for all of these reasons, this sort of lack of data and lack of clarity, military service organizations, veteran service organizations are puzzled about why exactly DoD is doing this. And part of the reason that they're upset about this is, A, none of these groups or Congress really seems to have been consulted about this particular policy change. There's no particular reason that's obvious as to why you would pick 16. And also, even though Congress originally made clear that this transferability provision of the GI Bill was a retention incentive, the way it's been treated up until now has really been as a core part of the GI Bill itself. Nobody's thought of it as this separate non-entitlement piece of it. So it's a pretty sudden change, not a lot of public explanation as to why they're doing it.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu. So what are the veterans organizations doing about it, or besides just saying they don't understand it and they don't like it?
That's about it at this point. I don't think there's been a lot of ongoing discussions between the VSOs rather and DOD at this point, but they are upset about it. So we heard from the Military Officers Association of America after we reached out for comment on this, and they say basically what I just said. They say transferability coupled with the additional service requirement became one of the cornerstones of the post 9/11 GI Bill, and the option to transfer those benefits is particularly valuable for military officers, they say, because they're especially likely to have already done their collegiate and advanced degrees. And again, at that point, it really becomes a benefit that you intend to pass on to your kids. Again, this change won't go into effect for another year. So people who are being surprised by it have another year to decide whether or not they want to transfer those benefits or make a decision on if they want to use those GI Bill benefits themselves. But again, relatively surprising change from DOD.
And switching topics here a moment, you're also writing about something that's branching off the OTA, the other transactional authority for acquisition in DOD. Sounds like OTA has grown a second head here.
Yeah, second head. This one's interesting, though, because it's actually part of it lives within the federal acquisition regulation, unlike OTAs, which basically sidestep the entire FAR. DOD issued last week what they call a class deviation to implement this new provision of law that Congress actually passed back in 2016 to create what they call commercial solutions openings. So what it does is it lets contracting officers and other folks working in the acquisition system for military components work through streamlined acquisition processes whenever they're buying, quote unquote, innovative commercial goods and services. And the definition of innovative in this context is pretty broad. It says basically anything, commercial products or services, really, that are technologies or process or methods, including R&D, that is new as of the date of submission of a proposal. So that's a pretty expansive definition. And the way these would work is DOD would put out something similar to a broad agency announcement, which is a power that they've had for a long time. And then as those proposals came in, they would be something similar to the white paper process that DOD already uses for OTAs. But then they would not have to do head-to-head competitions in the way that you normally would under a FAR-based procurement. What they would do is just compare these various proposals against each other in whatever way the contracting officer or the acquisition professionals involved here deemed, you know, the most valuable, the most likely to pay off. Another difference from OTAs is they don't just have to be used for prototypes. The restrictions on prototyping are not really there. They can be used for basically anything as long as DOD awards a firm fixed price contract in the end.
So for contractors, it really is like a horror movie. It's a deviant, but it lives in the FAR.
It's a deviant, but it lives in the FAR. And usually the way these things work is, I should say, the authority that Congress gave is limited up until 2022. So that's probably why they issued it as a class deviation rather than running it through the FAR Council and actually amending the FAR. If it ends up being successful, I would expect that Congress would make that authority permanent and then it would continue on in the FAR on a more permanent basis.
But it's probably too early to know if there's an industry reaction for those that have Mac Thornberry on their speed dial.
It's very early to know if there's an industry reaction because we don't even know how DOD is going to use this authority and how expansively they're going to use the authority. We should remember that they've had the authority to use other transaction authorities for a very, very long time. Congress expanded OTA authorities right around the time they created this authority for commercial solutions openings, and it took DOD a good year to really ramp up to the point that they're using OTAs for at this point. So the authority's just been in place from a regulatory perspective for a couple weeks now, and so it's going to be a while before we see whether DOD actually takes advantage of this new authority.
Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.
There's much more in his notebook. It's all posted at federalnewsradio.com.